Hello, and welcome to Live Like the World is Dying, your podcast for what feels like the end times. I'm one of your hosts today, Inman Narrowin, and with me is the always lovely...
Margaret. You should do the, like, as if I'm Garth. You should be like, and with me, as always, is Margaret. Like, because Wayne's World, because I'm an elder millennial. Never mind. Hi, I'm Margaret. I'm your other host.
And today we're going to be talking about, we're going to be doing a movie review.
About Wayne's World.
About Wayne's World, the most important movie of our time.
I once before I dropped out of school, I was going to change my major to film because of Wayne's World. This is a true story.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that so much.
It's so well done. Woman director too. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about a much less joyful movie today. And that movie is Alex Garland's Civil War. And the reason we're kind of talking about this is that I think this movie feels very relevant to, or at least when I went to go see it, I thought it would be very relevant to some themes on the podcast. And since then, I've been a little bit confused, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
And I am told that me and Margaret might have some differing opinions about this movie. And so y'all will get to see us argue.
Yeah, I'm going to argue in favor of Wayne's World, and Inman is going to argue against Civil War.
Yes. but first off, we are proud members of the Channel Zero network of anarchist podcasts, and here's a jingle from another show on that network. Do-do-do-do-do.
The border is not just a wall. It's not just a line on a map. It's a power structure, a system of control. The border does not divide one world from another. There is only one world, and the border is tearing it apart.
The Ex Worker Podcast presents No Wall They Can Build, a guide to borders and migration across North America. A serialized audiobook in 11 chapters released every Wednesday. Tune in at crimethink.com/podcast.
In a world. That's all I got.
Where a vague civil war has gripped the nation for the last 14 years.
About literally nothing.
We join a group of war correspondents and photographers who are kind of shit bags.
Don't have any motivation besides art.
I don't really have to introduce yourself to the thing because we all know who me and Margaret are. But to kind of get right into it, we're going to be talking about the movie Civil War today. And my hard take right now is if you haven't seen it, do not subject yourself to having to go see it. but, you know, make your own opinion. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But maybe we can kind of do a brief kind of like overview of the movie, and then we'll get into what me and Margaret think each separately think about it.
Sure.
How's that sound?
Sounds great. Am I overviewing or are you overviewing?
I can do it. You can do it. I don't care.
Are you prepared to?
I'm prepared to.
I'm not. Let's
Hell
do
yeah,
it.
I'm going to do
ahead.
It.
Go ahead.
Great.
Pew, pew, pew. I'm going to make pew, pew, pew noises the whole time you're talking, though, so that people get into the head of the viewer, which is that whatever is happening, there's also a lot of gunfire in the background.
So much gunfire. And I have something to say about that gunfire later.
Okay.
Yeah, which will be very funny with the pew, pew, pews. So, Civil War is a movie about
I'll stop now. This would get old. Go ahead.
The setup for Civil War is it's a movie about a second American Civil War, and we have a few different sides in it. We have the Western forces, which are made up of California and Texas, and they have formed a coalition of secessionist forces known as the Western forces. And they are trying to, all we really know is that they're trying to kill the president. And that
relatable.
Yeah, relatable. And then we have a couple other sides that never make it into the movie. There's the ones that do make it into the movie. We have like the we have Florida, who is attempting to join the Western forces. And we have a few other players. Like the creators of the movie released a map of the U.S. like set in the time of the war. And there's like the People's Army of like the Northwest or something. It's confusing. And when we join the narrative, it is, I think the war has been going on for about 14 or 15 years at this point, and the Western forces are closing in on Washington, D.C. and kind of like the East Coast. And we have a country that has been completely engulfed in this war for, you know, over the last decade. And it follows a group of war photographers and journalist correspondent people, I know words, mm-hmm. Who are out on a strange mission, which is to photograph and interview the president before he gets killed by the Western forces. This is kind of the setup for our protagonist's journey. And we have Kirsten Dunst as this like kind of like middle-aged jaded war photographer who is paired up with, I don't remember his name,
some other guy
who's a journalist, and as a tag along they have this like older journalist who's trying to tag along with them. He's like old friend co
wise old black man archetype.
Wise old black man archetype. And then we have a like I think she's 23 in the movie. Yeah. Younger, very excited and naive photographer who is a fan of Lee or Kirsten Dunst's character. And they're all headed to DC to try to photograph the president before he dies, and they run into a lot of wacky shenanigans along the way.
It's a road trip movie.
It is a road trip movie at its core. It is a road trip movie. Margaret, I guess I have quite a lot of opinions about this, mm-hmm. but I'm the person who's technically hosting right now, so I'm going to ask you questions. What did you think?
I think we should more like duke it out a little bit, but okay. I think we should each just give ourselves as having equal time on this. So, I went into Civil War expecting to hate it. Most of the movie takes place in West Virginia, Western Pennsylvania, and Western Maryland. It takes place where I live. I drove to go see it in a town that is like, I think one of the towns that they filmed in. And I went to the movie theater and I was like, it's going to be all fucking chuds. It's all going to be these like right wing motherfuckers. Like I'm going into enemy territory, you know? I went to a Saturday night matinee on the second day the movie was out, and there was like 8 old couples. And then one dude who I read as gay, who was there alone like I was. And that's who went to go see it. Some couples in their 70s and some guy who probably went in kind of similar reason I did to be like, what does this have to say about the people who are trying to kill me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed watching it. I got some popcorn and I watched a movie that had pretty good action, lots of loud bang noises everywhere. I was like, I was glad I saw it in the theater because it was like, I thought the audio was well done. And it seemed to me, okay, so it's like, if you go into it being like, this is going to be a movie that explains where we're at in the country, it's not going to work.
No,
because it's
absolutely not.
And it absolutely dropped the ball on that. But that was the point. Now, I don't think that was a good point. I don't think that they made a good decision. Like, if I had made this movie, this is not how I would have made it. I enjoyed watching the movie. I also thought it was really interesting. So I went home. I was like, oh, that was less bad than I expected. And it was on my mind. You know, it made me think. Mostly it made me think, the fuck were they thinking? But like, it's like, I was going to do war journalism when I was in high school. And I was like a photo kid, you know? And then I went off to school for photography. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm going to drop out and join the revolution or whatever. And I very quickly was like, the idea of the neutral journalist is nonsense, you know?
Fucking nonsense.
And that is like one of the main things. This is like a statement that's trying to be this like grand, like, oh, it's so important to have this neutral position or whatever. But no one's really neutral. And they kind of present it like people are, but I don't think that they try all that hard. And what I realized, okay, my takeaway, this movie is centrist propaganda. And this movie is centrist propaganda that is specifically, it does this whole thing where all of the stuff is like, there's no good guys or bad guys. And they do very intentionally and kind of honestly interestingly have it where you don't know which sides are fighting at any given point.
No clue.
And so, and that is very intentional. There's a scene where there's like a sniper and there's a counter sniper and the people are like, wait, which side are you on? And he's like, I'm just trying to kill that guy who's trying to kill me. And yeah. Like,
and they're like queer coded.
Yeah. 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 They have pink hair or whatever. And
fingernail polish.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't catch. Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
And it feels, that part feels a little bit real. It's like kind of a little bit of a like, what's that Heart of Darkness movie?
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, like kind of this like, I don't know, man, war is hell kind of vibe, right? And like, okay, so it's centrist propaganda because at the end of the day, despite they make this big deal out of like, well, we don't know who's the good guys and the bad guys. You do. The president is bad. The Western forces are good. Now, they're not good, perfect, everything's great, but the movie opens with a person with a United States flag suicide bombing. No one presents suicide bombing as a positive thing in Western media.
No.
The United States government is the bad guys in this movie. That caught me by surprise. I expected passively to think that the way that they would do centrist propaganda, I knew it was going to be centrist propaganda, is that they would have Texas and California being the far right and the far left, and they're the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Instead, I think they are meant to, and this is a sloppy, it's not how it could have been done, should have been done. It represents the far right and, sorry, the center right and the center left teaming up to stop a fascist because the president has a couple, like, okay, so if you like read all these reviews and people talking about it, I remember I was reading this right wingers on Reddit. Everyone was like, oh, it's all neutral. And this right winger was like, it's not. It is anti-Trump. It is anti-fascist. And like,
it's like
he
the,
was
that's
saying
like
that,
the only clear thing. That's the only clear tie-in in the movie is that Nick Offerman is supposed to be Trump.
And so he noticed everything that I noticed and pointed it out to say this movie is actually leftist propaganda. In that, for example, the dude's Trump. The only actual bad person, there's people who do war crimes in it. Like they like gun down some prisoners and stuff. And it's like a little bit of a like war is hell. There's like one group of actually bad people.
Yeah.
And they're the racists.
Yeah. Or there's a couple. I don't know. There's like there's the gas station keepers who like shot some looters. You know.
I think they're negative, but they're not like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And then like Jesse Plemons' group, which are the racists.
Okay, yeah.
Or the anti-immigrants.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. And they're confusing to me because like when I was watching the movie, I was like, are these supposed to be the Western forces? Because the Western forces are talked about so mysteriously to the point where it's like vague in a way that is confusing and I think harmful.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. But so it's like, and then I was trying to tell where I was like, wait, do these characters have the WF on their arm? And it was really hard. I like couldn't really tell. And then I think I read something later that was like, they were supposed to be a militia.
Yeah. That was the impression I got. Yeah. But they also have like one of the military Humvees.
Yeah. So it's confusing.
Yeah.
And, but I feel
like the Western
like
Front has like
the
black woman who kills the president.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is where it all starts to get confusing is like when they meet up with those other journalists who are like embedded in the Western forces, they mm-hmm. talk about it really poorly. They're like, because our protagonists don't like the Western forces. Our protagonists think the Western forces are weird, you know? They don't like the president either. Yeah, they say something like you embedded with them, like what the fuck? And they're like, this is just what it is now.
I believe you, but I think that the Boogaloo boys that they were embedded with were Western forces.
Oh, like the Hawaiian shirt wearing.
Yeah, wearing so that was one of the other things that was interesting because the Boogaloo boys are on the good side in this movie.
That was really confusing to me.
Yeah.
Like,
I think they're trying to present them as like a center right force fighting alongside the like center left force of California to overthrow fascist. That's like my takeaway.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
I don't go ahead.
Oh no. Finish your thing.
I don't think it was like it sure ain't how I would have written it. Cause I don't think it's realistic at all.
Yeah.
And it like, but okay, wait. I talked to one journalist friend who also isn't a fan.
Uh-huh.
But they pointed out, right, Alex Garland's like not American. He's what, English maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, he's from London.
Yeah. Fucking.
Or I think he's an immigrant to London too. I don't remember.
There's this argument that they're kind of doing the like what American war movies do, where someone who's not from your country oversimplifies and fucks up all the local politics in order to make a war movie about art.
Oh God. Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally.
And that's kind of interesting. But the person who presented that idea isn't a fan of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, so some of the politically confusing things to me about it were like, the Western forces are ambiguous. And for most of the movie, the viewer is kind of supposed to be like fearful or confused about them. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. You know, it's like our protagonists don't really know. Our protagonists are neutral in that they're like, yeah, the government sucks. And also the Western forces probably suck too.
Yeah.
There's all these mentions about how they're going to like tear each other apart after they kill the president. Which feels far more realistic. But
yeah, totally.
The thing that kind of really did it for me is that it's like whoever like Jesse Plemons, like red sunglass militia dude is supposed to be aligned with, the viewer is kind of supposed to think that they're the Western forces. And then what really cinched it for me is the Western forces, before they make this final strike on DC, rally in Charlottesville.
Oh.
Which in kind of an art house movie where like everything's intentional and not intentional and everything's a reference and not a reference. Like,
it was this thing
where I was like, you're having your politically vague secessionist forces that we're kind of supposed to think are maybe, you know, far right fascists of their own color,
Yeah.
Are rallying in Charlottesville, of all places.
Yeah. Like, no, and it's funny because, like, we know that they worked with at least the far right Andy Ngo, right? Who's thanked in the credits. And we know that they worked with at least, I can't remember the prominent TERF's name, who's also thanked in the credits.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
So, no, that is the, like, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, but I think what the politics that are confusing for me are that, like the world that we encounter in Civil War, like the world in their world that existed before the Civil War is not our world. It's like it is a fantasy. It is a fantasy movie in that it is like not, it's like based on our world, but it's not our world.
I know, because it's also like takes place like 20 years from now and nothing's changed technologically. If anything, it's regressed.
Yeah. Which kind of makes sense for like a war sometimes, you know, like war is kind of in some ways halt.
No, we got a lot of new technology during wars. I mean, I guess the propagation through civil society of new technology is slowed, but like.
I think that's more what I mean.
Okay.
Like civil technology.
Yeah. I was left with like a uncomfortable feeling about it when I was done, but I didn't hate it as much as I expected because I think just taken as like, I'm kind of easy to please with movies.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I don't know, pew, pew. Like, I don't know, that's fun. And also like a black lady shot the president. That's cool. And like, but then it's like, it does a lot of like, art is so neutral tropes. I kind of hate self-important photographers. It's like a thing. It's like part of why I dropped out of school and like didn't get into photography. Is that photographers are so fucking self-important.
Yeah. Okay. I think one of the other things I had a really hard time with was its treatment of journalists in a way where I was like I walked like the whole movie. I was like, is the purpose of the movie to make journalists seem like the most like self-important douchebags on the planet? Because that's what I'm getting right now. And, but it's like, I kind of dug into some of it because I knew that Garland like chose journalists as his protagonists on purpose. And like part of that was because he sees them as heroes. He grew up with like, I think his dad was like a war correspondent or something. And so he grew up hanging out with all these like old war correspondents and like journalists and photographers. And so like, and he said it publicly that like, he thinks that they have like interesting insight or whatever for like telling the stories of this. And then he portrays them to be like kind of dickbags and like kind of just like, they're like portraying this idea of neutrality, which I think is really embraced with like Western journalism over like, we have to be neutral and our neutrality is important. And then it's like all these like wild things happen and it's like, okay, it's like spoiler, everyone, they're spoilers. You already got their spoilers, but it's like, we open up on this scene where like, Kirsten Dunst and our young protagonist. I can't remember any of these people's names.
Old lady journalist, young lady journalist.
Yeah. They meet at a rally. The rally gets bombed. And like literally moments later, they are both just snapping photos of people who are dead and dying. And they are not helping anyone.
Yeah.
They're not.
Well, and that's the point. I mean, that is the moral of it. I mean, it's not well done. But no. Because she's like, sorry, I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I think it's like we see this reproduced throughout the rest of the movie where it's like they're like Stanley, their older black wise black man character gets shot saving them, saving the group from Jesse Plemons and them. And they you know, because Stanley's like, this is a bad idea. You're going to get fucking killed. And then he's right. And then he saves them. Gets shot doing it. Yeah. And I know it's like how movies work or whatever, but like he gets shot and they do nothing.
Yeah, no,
let him bleed out in the fucking car so they can have a whimsical drive through a forest fire with whimsical music. And
he doesn't tell them, but that's on the writer. That's, you know.
Well, when they switch drivers, he's bleeding.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah.
They know that he's been shot for hours and they do nothing.
I mean, my thought was that they were well, we better get to the place because there's going to be medics there or whatever. But they don't say that. And they also that scene and how they treat that character. That was when I was like, these writers are hacks and playing into bullshit racist tropes. Like even that scene, scene where all the people of color die in that scene. That's what happens. That's I guess the journalist man is a person of color also. But the three, only white people and this one person of color survives that scene because of the fight with the racists. And and that is lazy racist writing, I think, to kill all of them off. And then also to the way they drive away with it and they're like, oh, I was saved, thank God, or whatever. And no one gives a shit about the... But they also try to do the no, we are fucking shell-shocked. And they try to do this weird remove, and they all have mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
You know, every one of the journalists either dies or has a mental breakdown during this movie. But I also think that there's this we all know racists are bad, you know? Yeah. And so it's a little bit of a congratulations, the racist killed all the people of color. But okay, the thing that makes me angriest, they knew that red sunglasses man would become a meme.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of their marketing. He is the most interesting character in the movie.
Yeah, if you watch the trailer, you assume that interaction is most of the movie.
Yeah, totally. And there's a couple things that piss me off about it. That's in West Virginia. And that is they don't hillbilly code them in any other way except for the fact that they're white racists in West Virginia. But that is still something that is yay, it's West Virginia. So of course all the people, it fucking Deliverance is that shit. I've never seen Deliverance, but I know it's the Fear of Appalachia thing. But also by knowing it's going to be the meme and then having him be really actually a fucking monster. You have now all of the people who vaguely identify with him. I watched a bunch of YouTube video responses from tactical and prepper and whatever spaces, which are tend center and far right, you know? And you know, they're all kind of mad that they made that red sunglasses guy such a racist, because they're kind of but he was our guy, you know, which is in one way kind of accurate, right? But you also just now have all these people are excited about this fucking racist dude, and he's a meme, and I've seen memes that are funny and leftist that use it, oh, you're an anarchist, but what kind of anarchist are you, or whatever, you know? But it's about murder and mother, I don't know, it's just it's in bad taste. I dislike it. But okay, wait, one more thing. Sorry. The other thing, my thoughts are not collected. The other thing that I thought a lot about is that when I watched all these response videos and all these things, the far right and the left hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the center likes it.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. I actually think that the one art thing that I think Garland might have pulled off, I overall feel very negatively about, you know, I mean, I enjoyed the movie from a pure popcorn point of view, right? But how I feel about the movie is it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But this thing, the fact that it pisses off the two people who are mad at it, me and that right-wing guy on Reddit had taken literally the same notes of all of the political coding throughout. So the people who are watching this movie because they think there might be a civil war. Like, I think there might be a civil war. I don't want there to be.
Yeah.
Some of the right-wing people, and probably some of the left-wing people, but I don't think it's as prevalent on the left, want there to be a civil war. And so all of those people, everyone who went at it being like, is this a oracle of our future, was like, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
And then everyone who was like, this reinforced my pre-existing beliefs that the extremes are bad, but the right and the left can get together to stop fascism and Trump.
Yeah.
Liked it. And like, it's hard because that's like the centrist nonsense position. But it's also like, we got to figure out how to not have a civil war. Like,
yeah,
we got to figure out how to get the center right to stop going further right. This movie isn't going to help do that. That's all I got.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no, thank you. That's great. I have two more things to say about the journalist treatment.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay. And this ties into like how the movie was shot. So Garland like talks about some of the commitments to realism that he was trying to do with the movie. And specifically part of that is how gunfire was recorded. Which is that gunfire was recorded and projected in different ways than it normally is in movies. And it was, yeah, it's like a kind of like the, I forget the words they use, but it's like the, normally in movies you have these kind of deep hollow sounds, and they recorded it in a way to make it sound like tinnier and like higher in register.
Yeah, like so that the crack it's like, of it.
Yeah, so it's like you feel it in your ears and your shoulders instead of like in your chest.
Yeah.
And, which is how real gunfire works. And so it's like they had this commitment to realism where they really wanted people to feel like the reality of and discomfort of gunfire.
Yeah.
And the war choreographer was like ex-Navy SEALs person. And so they had this commitment to like portraying combat in realistic ways and this commitment to portraying war in realistic and horrifying ways. And I know this is just like a thing with movies, but it's like their commitment to realism was a commitment to realistic violence and not a commitment to like what people might actually do in those situations, which is like, you know, back to Stanley, my friend gets shot and we're driving to a potential medical facility. Let's show some realistic first aid. Let's show some stop the bleed. Let's show some let's show a fucking tourniquet. Let's show like holding pressure, doing literally anything.
Totally. Well, when it happens in a battle, they do that. They do a better stop the bleed than the average movie where the guy gets
I
shot,
forgot about that.
The googly
yeah.
boy gets shot.
Yeah.
But when they're doing plot, that's why I'm mad about them killing that man.
Yeah.
It was a plot death.
It
wasn't
a
battle death. Like, I knew he was going to die before it happened. And then when
he asks to tag along, we know he's going to die.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then even like that scene, it's like, he's like, oh, I can't drive anymore. And I'm like, oh, he's dead now. And that, there is no reason why realistically that scene, if he had made it that long, he's suddenly going to die, you know?
Yeah.
Like the average, you get shot once. The average you get shot once with a rifle, I think you do die, but it's like not a high more than whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't need to kill him. It was a plot death and it pisses me off as compared to some of the battle scenes, which is funny because then when they get in DC, then the battle scenes kind of like get a little like, here comes the helicopter really low among the buildings and like, the fucking Secret Service who are just like pew pew instead of, you know, like
well, it's not the Secret Service because he dissolved the FBI.
Oh, is Secret Service part of the FBI? Okay. I like the gunfire thing though.
Yeah, no, the gunfire I hated it in the theater. I wanted to literally fucking die. It's just it's like people who have a commit. I wish that people who had a commitment to realism would have a commitment to like showing a wider spectrum of realism in their movies. You know, I think it's
I agree with you.
It's a huge failing of like filmmakers. And I think it's a huge failing of Garland to like be like, we're going to commit this to like making war uncomfortable, but like, we're not going to show realistic ways in which like, yeah, I don't know. Or then it's
again, they did it in the battle, but not in the plot thing is how I feel about it.
Totally. And then it's like our other plot death is Lee or Kirsten Dunst at the end of the movie. And it's like,
you knew she was going to die in that scene.
Totally. Totally. And it's like, she saves our young protagonist from getting shot. And how does our young protagonist thank her? By photographing her death.
But see that? I actually like that plot death. It was a plot death through and through, but it served a purpose, which was the completion of the, like, because the girl is like, what are you going to do? You're going to fucking film my death? Mm-hmm. And then the other way around happened. And I was like, oh, that's clever. And like,
I guess so.
Because like, and that was, okay, so it's like, as the character arc of older lady Kirsten Dunst, I thought that was interesting because she's I'm so hardened. I don't have any emotions. And then she fucking breaks. She like shuts down during the siege of Washington in Washington, right? Like, I actually kind of liked that. It was cheesy. It was not a commitment to realism. It was a plot death through and through.
Yeah. She's also like wearing a plate carrier and gets shot center mass and just dies.
Oh shit. I didn't think about that. Yeah, no, totally. No, it's like, it's cheesy as shit, right? But like, I also thought it was like kind of realistic, the like, in a like bad way, the like, when they're like, when the speaker for the president, whatever, the press secretary comes out and is like, we want to negotiate, and they're like, we're going to shoot you. And then the president's last words were like, don't let them kill me or whatever. And then it gets fucking popped. Like, I actually no, you're right. I think you got at the central tension of this movie is a commitment to realism that doesn't go all the way through. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, wait, I'm supposed to disagree with you.
Yeah. I think we didn't disagree as much as I thought we would disagree. But
no, I'm not like, this is the fucking, I just like, I like war movies. I don't know. Something wrong with me.
I think I was more horrified by, I think I was just more horrified by it than you were. But it's like, okay, so my other thing about journalists is that like I think that what I could like draw from it is like, oh, this is like a critique of this neutrality. It's a critique of non-interference. We're like watching these people make really weird decisions. But it wasn't. And totally. I don't think Garland meant it that way. Garland, based on like his history and based on this idea, this like Western idea of like what journalism is, and based on like how these characters behave, there is no critique of this behavior.
Yeah.
They are his heroes of the movie.
What I think he thinks he's doing is pointing out how messy and complicated these righteous people are. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is you could say the same about the revolutionary forces, you know, because it's like he brings up all the gross things that journalists do, but then kind of say it's necessary. Right.
Yeah.
And then the same is actually happening. Like in a weird way, there's like this thing where it kind of, you expect it to be an anti-Civil War movie, like an anti-war movie or whatever, but it's kind of not. Like, the Western forces in this movie righteously oust a tyrant.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie, you know that, and you're meant to be rooting for them. In the same way that you're rooting for the journalists, even as they do things that are bad. They do morally unconscionable things in service of the greater good of art or whatever fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
The Western forces are doing the same. I got Yeah, and the movie feels like kind of disjointed in that, like, as soon as they reach the Western forces in Charlottesville, you're suddenly like, oh, I get it. These are the good guys all along or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know. My other kind of big note is like, mm-hmm. It's weird. I never thought I'd be like, so have so many opinions about like portrayals of journalism, but it's like, I think, you know, all the reasons that I've stated about like really feeling like this treatment of journalists is like, you know, both accurate and like about they fucking suck. Some mm-hmm. of them suck. And then also like, there's this other context right now that I think makes it suck even more. And that is that, like, you know, this movie's coming out and was being produced at a time when like the genocide in Gaza was happening. And like currently it is still happening. And this is like a place where like, you know, notably journalists are getting assassinated, bombed, shot, starved, all of these things. And to have this be like the portrayal of journalists as people who like watch a bombing and then like photograph people as they're dying or watch their friends get shot and just take pictures of them and like all of this stuff just like hit in this really weird way where I was like, I don't think this is how journalists in places where like their homes, the places they live,
yeah,
are reacting to this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, it feels really, it hits really weird with like everything going on in Gaza right now, where I'm like, I don't think like Palestinian journalists are like watching their friends get blown up and then like standing by and taking pictures. I think they're like getting down in the rubble and helping like dig people out of buildings. Like, yeah. And I don't know. It's that aspect. It's because the journalists won't pick a side. I don't want them to pick a side in civil war, but it's like, I don't know. I don't think any of us are neutral anymore.
Yeah. I think that there is the, like, this film, when the centrist propaganda part of that is the like holding on to this fictitious idea of the neutral journalist. I think that that's a good point. That war correspondent Jake Hanrahan, who did Sad Oligarch and does a bunch of other like did a lot of like has done a lot of really impressive war journalism, posted about it on Twitter and was just like, if you hang out with this style of war journalist, you will die.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, these are the people who will get you killed. And that, like, it's like hearing that this guy like idolizes this fictitious war journalist is a perfect example of like, yeah, he's just like, you know, this like gonzo journalist hero or whatever, who puts himself in dumb danger. Like, yeah, no, I think they did a terrible job with the journalism. I think they did a terrible job of like, also just like, oh, it's so quirky. You brought a 35mm film camera to war.
Like, dear God. They did the bad sci-fi trope of inventing technology to have the thing that they wanted aesthetically.
You could do everything that she did. She's developing on the fly. But you could do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I talked to some photojournalist person about it and they were like, the most absurd part of this movie is that this person is shooting like, is shooting film during this. And like, they're like, they like name the film that she's using. And she's like, that's hard to get now. Where the fuck is this person getting this film?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, totally. Like it would be absolutely nonsensical to shoot film in this kind of situation, like where anything else is an option. No, just the way that she's developing on the road or whatever. Yeah. Like, I think you could do.
Yeah.
Because you can make your own negatives on it. If she had like a dark room under, it'd be like, what the fuck? But like, but it's still like, no, it is absolutely like, you know, oh, you're a fucking weird artist or whatever. No, and like, yeah. Yeah. bad journalism. No, it literally, the thing that this movie succeeds at is it goes pew pew, and the people are like, oh fuck, I'm getting shot, and then people are like, me in the audience, I'm like, I'm feeling really tense right now, and I'm like, oh, this is like, you know, I think I watch war movies like other people watch horror movies, where it's kind of a like, oh, to get that safe version of a thing that, like, I've never been in war, but I've been in some pretty tense riots and things like that, where, like, you know, and so getting a little bit of that vibe. Yeah, it's like, I enjoy it. I enjoy a good war movie. You know, they shoot the president, and like, also and there's like some interesting, I kind of like the scene where there's the town that's like, oh, everything's normal. I think that's Frostburg, Maryland. I'm not 100% certain. A lot of the towns in Western Maryland look kind of similar, but there's this small town vibe of a central Appalachian town, you know, and then it works because there's like dudes with guns on the rooftop. I actually thought that was like kind of well done. They're like, oh, we're totally out of the war. And you're like, just kidding. Our local militia shoots anyone who tries anything. And I'm like, that feels real.
Yeah. 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 That's true. That does feel real. Yeah. I don't know. It was a weird movie. And I think maybe this other thing is with Garland did like some interviews about it, and like, he's purposefully vague about his politics to the point where he went off record during a interview with The Guardian to explain to the reporter what his actual politics were, because he didn't want to say them. I don't know, I guess was trying to convince the reporter that he wasn't something.
Like a Nazi or something. Or like,
yeah, like a Nazi or something.
Yeah.
It
makes sense that, like, okay, so I watched a bunch of like review videos by random right-wing people, and I was like, fuck them. And you watched interviews with Garland, and Garland sucks, it seems like. So it kind of like, I think it kind of like makes sense that where we kind of ended in our like, I'm not trying to like sing this movie's praises.
No. Yeah. But I think there were some, I don't know, to bring this back to preparedness, because that's what we're always here to talk about.
Okay.
It's like, I guess what I hope is that, what I hope that people don't get from this movie, or what I hope that people get from this movie, is like seeing an absolutely horrifying portrayal of like journalism, or like people that we would kind of see in these kind of support roles of like struggle, you know, and that you should spend probably less time worrying about developing film during a civil war, and probably more time like taking a stop the bleed training and like developing relationships and like community with the people that you're photographing, and like having real connections to the things that you're reporting on, versus like going on a road trip to fuel your like gore porn lust. I don't know. Maybe throw a few more tourniquets in your bag and like an IFAC, and like maybe drop the film. Yeah. I mean, you can bring the film, but if you have to choose between an IFAC and like on the road developer kit, choose the IFAC.
No, totally. Like, if you have your film camera too, I'm like, oh, quirky. If you have only your film camera, you're a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you are not prepared to do your job. It would be like if someone had a saber on their side instead of a fucking AR-15. You know? Like, like, if you bring your saber, chill, you're quirky. If you only bring your saber, you are not prepared to do your job in this war. From a preparedness point of view, the one thing I could say about it, it's kind of a like, it could happen here. It's just a like, hey, everyone, like, we're not magically specially immune from like being torn apart by crisis. And even some of the like, okay, I still think it was a coward's move for them to not really talk about any politics at any point during the movie.
Absolutely.
But they could have done the exact same weird split where Texas and Florida and California are on the same side. Because you could say, hey, war makes for weird bedfellows. Because it does. The Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, where the communists are sending the Nazis guns, you know, or like
just, Spanish Civil War, where the anarchists were fighting on the barricades with cops.
Yeah, totally. How cops and anarchists stopped the coup in Barcelona, and then the anarchists joined the government, which made a lot of the anarchists mad. But I think they have bigger problems than everyone's like, the big problem is we joined the government. I'm like, I think the big problem is that Stalin and Franco killed everyone. Yeah. But whatever. No, and it's just like an interesting, like, because you could be like, all right, like, shit could break down in ways that you don't expect. And like, and they could have done what well, and they didn't. And then the other thing is that I hate every protest scene I've ever seen in a mainstream movie.
Yeah, they're always
bad. I've never seen it done well. The two ways they try and do it is they either use stock footage of riots like they do in this one where they got from fucking Andy Ngo, the fucking Nazi. Yeah. Or you have this crowd that's not big enough and is either too angry or too passive. It's always like 50 cops and 50 protesters. That's the way they always do it. And I get it. It's really hard to get 40,000 people, you know, to be extras for your movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. No, none of these motherfuckers have ever been in a fucking riot. Anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't like the scene at the beginning. Honestly, the suicide bombing part I thought was well done.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts on it as we near an hour of talking about this, what I will call strange really garbage.
Yeah. I don't know. Pirate it. See if you enjoy it. Don't make memes out of that guy. I'm not like mad. It's not like problematic. I don't give a shit on like a real level, but like, fuck that guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's what I got.
Cool. Yeah. Mine is, I don't know. Don't let this movie serve as your conception of journalists.
On a 1 to 5 stars, I'm giving it a 3. As a movie, not as a political piece. As a political piece, I give it a 2. What do you give it?
I'm giving it like 1.5 because I actually just thought it was a bad movie.
Yeah, yeah.
On political, I'm giving it 0 stars, but on a movie, I'm giving it 1.5. My plug for this movie is go see The People's Joker if you can, if it is in your city. Go see that instead.
And mine is go watch Wayne's World. I can't really defend it politically. I don't know. There's probably really fucked up things in it. Dude, whatever. I like doing it. Maybe don't go watch Wayne's World. I just remember really liking that movie. I tried to do a non sequitur here. We should end this podcast. My mouth hurts. I had oral surgery. I've probably complained about that a lot.
If you enjoyed this podcast, go watch Wayne's World. That is our weekly.
There's probably something horrible in Wayne's World I just don't remember.
If you enjoyed this podcast, enjoy the nostalgia, not the reality of Wayne's World.
The people's Wayne's World.
The people's Wayne's World. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love for you to tell people about it. It's one of the best ways that people to support the show. And talk to your friends about it. Talk to your friends about movies. Go to the movies with your friends and talk about those movies. And don't let movies define what your concept of the world is, because I don't know, filmmakers are fucking weird sometimes, you know? But you can also support the show by supporting our publisher, Strangers in a Tangled Wilderness. And you can support Strangers in a Tangled Wilderness by telling people about stuff. You can support it by buying stuff from us. We put out books, zines, we have shirts, we have cool games, and you can also support us and the show by signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/strangersinatangledwilderness. And there's a bunch of different levels of stuff that you can get for supporting our Patreon, anywhere from discounts on physical things that we make to just free versions of all of the digital stuff that we put out. And you can also get like a cool zine every month. And you can also give us $20 a month to acknowledge or thank a thing of your choice. This could be you. This could be your friend. This could be a organization that you think is cool, or it could be a fictional or theoretical concept, which no one has asked us to thank yet. So,
or sorry, finish your thought. Yeah. I want to, before you do the list, I want to present another thing that people could do.
Yeah. Which this is my new post podcast. If you liked this podcast, please pay us $20 to thank a fictional or fictional concept. That is my plug.
Also, you could troll us by taking one of the names or projects that's already on our list and adding it to our list again so that we have to read it twice. Like, yeah. Boise Mutual Aid. What if that got read out twice? Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah. Or what if we thanked, we could thank Amber twice. We could thank Julia twice. We could thank Marm twice. And we're going to thank all of them twice right now. Thank you, Alium and Alium. Thank you, Amber and Amber. Thank you, Ephemeral and Ephemeral. I have to transcribe this and I'm going to hate this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Appalachian. I'm going to stop. Thank you, Appalachian Liberation Library, Portland's Hedron Hackerspace, Boldfield, E, Ptoli, Eric, Buck, Julia. Look, we thanked you three times. Catgut, Marm, Carson, Lord Harkin, Trickster, Miranda, Ben Ben, Anonymous, Janice and Odell, Allie, Paparuna, Milica, Boise Mutual Aid. Look, we're thanking you like three times. Theo, Hunter, SJ, Paige, Nicole, David, Dana, Chelsea, Starro, Jennifer, Kirk, Chris, Micaiah, and the immortal Haas the dog. Thanks for everything you've done. Pew pew.
That's a callback of me interrupting you with the everyone will be happy and not think I'm a jerk. Please continue. I'm like high off of pain. Yeah. My mouth hurts because I've been talking. Oh no, was pew pew the other? We recorded two episodes in a row. Was this the one that I pew pew? This is the one I pew pew in the middle
yes,
of, right?
Yes, this is the one you pew pew. No. But okay. just wait for the cue. Wait for the visual cue, Margaret.
Okay.
If we just hope everyone is doing as well as they can with everything that's going on.
Pew pew pew.
And we'll see you next time.